Second scripture lesson is from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 29 through 42. Please listen for the word of the Lord. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples. And as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks and praise for this day. And I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts would be acceptable to you, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Come and see. Growing up, my brother and I were really into the Herbie movies. You remember the Love Bug? I swear these movies are the reason I care about my car's feelings. The Love Bug series came out in the 1960s. It was a Disney series, the story of a little white Volkswagen with a big heart. This car was somehow alive. It became a famous race car. It was classic Disney with Dean Jones, Michelle Lee, David Tomlinson, and Buddy Hackett. My brother was even more obsessed with these movies than I was. And any time we went anywhere, he would be on the lookout for Herbie. And as soon as he saw a Volkswagen Bug, he would cry out, "Herbie alert!" And he would make siren noises. I still hear that in my head whenever I see a Volkswagen Bug. I heard that in my head reading John 1. John the Baptist is still by the Jordan River doing his baptisms. And Jesus walks by, sort of minding his own business, when John lets loose his Herbie alert. There he is, the Lamb of God. John proclaims this story, the story of what he heard, what he saw. He says, "I saw the Spirit descend upon him like a dove, and I can tell you, this is the Son of God." John is excited, and he doesn't stop being excited. The next day, the same thing happens. Jesus walks by the banks of the Jordan, and John makes sure everyone knows. There he is, the Son of God. And two people who were with John take notice. They hear the testimony and their curiosity has been piqued. They follow Jesus. And Jesus must have heard the footsteps behind him because he turns around, he sees them there, and he asks, "What are you looking for?" And I wonder if they knew. Maybe they were looking for some sign that what John said was true. John said this guy is the Son of God. He said he saw the Spirit descend upon him in the moment of baptism like a dove. And maybe there was some part of them that wondered if the Holy Spirit is like lightning and will strike in the same place twice. Is he? What they ask is about where Jesus is staying. Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Come and see. Come and see. And the very next thing that we learn from verse 39 is that they came and they saw and they stayed. They spent the day with Jesus. We don't know what was said behind those closed doors. Maybe they talked about everything and talked about nothing. Maybe they spent the afternoon just being present with each other in silence. Whatever happened, it was enough for one of them, the one named Andrew. He is convinced that Jesus is someone special. He runs and gets his brother. "Dude, you gotta check this guy out. Come and see. Come and see." To be invited to come and see presents us with a choice, to either go or not. It puts the ball in our court, so to speak. It is all about choice, which is the interesting thing about our faith, that we have the ability to choose. God offers us love and grace whether we ask for it or not. These things are unconditional, but what we do with that information, how we respond to grace and live our lives, that's our choice. It's a choice that we sometimes regret having. Oftentimes there are moments when we would just like someone to tell us what to do, someone to tell us what to believe. We think maybe it would be easier if someone would just give us the answers. Tell me what to do. Tell me which path to take. There are online forums with information, if you go onto the internet, information about what movies, books, and TV shows, all the things you want to avoid if you don't want the dog to die at the end. These are things I need to know, because if the dog dies at the end, I'm not watching the movie. Come and see is a tough invitation, because there are no spoilers. Come and see doesn't tell me how it will play out. I don't know how many boxes of Kleenex I'll need if I just have to come and see. This invitation to come and see didn't tell Andrew and the other disciple what they would be getting into by following Jesus, by seeing where he was staying. Come and see means we draw our own conclusions. Pick a college after you've gone on the tour and see it for yourself, what it's all about. You pick a job and then you draw your own conclusions about whether that was a good idea or not. A few years ago, I went down to Wheatland, which is the home of our 15th president, James Buchanan, located down in Lancaster. Buchanan usually lands at the bottom of the presidential totem pole in popularity. Most people cite his leadership skills leading up to the Civil War as proof that he has rightfully earned that spot at the bottom of the totem pole. So when I toured his house, I asked the tour guides what they thought about that position. And the guide wouldn't comment on it. Instead, he said he hopes that the people who visit Wheatland and learn more about Mr. Buchanan draw their own conclusions. Come and see and decide for yourself. This is what Jesus invites Andrew and the other disciple to do. Come and see. Decide for yourself. They went to see in the same way that later they went to the empty tomb after the women came and told them it was empty. They went to see the same way that Thomas needed to see for himself the holes in Jesus' hands and feet. They went to see the same way any of us can come and see. I can have you recite the Apostles' Creed and worship. And I can stand up here in the pulpit and tell you some of the incredible things that Jesus has done in my life. But I can't make you believe. I can't make you follow. You have to choose. You must come and see. And it's a challenge, too, for us who would say come and see, because we live with the reality of the Great Commission, Jesus' last command to go out and make disciples. I always like to point out that Jesus says make disciples, not make believers. The reminder that our task is about conversation, not conversion. But we live in this tension of wanting to do our best, of wanting to make disciples, and not always being sure what this looks like, or coming to a season in our lives where we're no longer able to go and do what we used to do. It is difficult to know what it looks like to make disciples. You can make a cake, right? You can follow steps, and if you follow the recipe, you can generally make a cake. You can improvise here and there, but if you follow the directions, it seems to turn out okay. As a quilter, if I follow the pattern, most of the time it seems to work out. There are moments. But making disciples, there's no real recipe book for that. And this is where John the Baptist helps us out this morning. Because John the Baptist actually gives us a hand with this question. If you notice John, when he's telling his story about what he saw and what he heard, he doesn't actually tell the people to believe or not. He tells his story and then lets them figure it out for themselves. He points to Jesus and essentially says, "Herbie alert, there's the Lamb of God." But he never says, go follow him. He never says, here's what to believe. He doesn't have to tell the two disciples to leave him and to follow Jesus. They make that choice. They do that. All they had to do was listen to his story. All John had to do was tell his story. And it was enough to pique their curiosity. They went to see. And for John, the recipe for making a disciple basically says, tell your story. Stories are powerful things. Stories bind us together in ways that not everything does. Stories bind us together, telling us who we are and how we got here. It's no accident that so much of the Bible is told in the narrative. And no accident that when someone asked Jesus a question, so often, instead of a straight answer, he told them a story. By nature, stories invite us to come and see and to draw our own conclusions. We are the storytellers of our faith. We each have a story. You have a story, how you found your way here to Faith Presbyterian Church, how you met Jesus. Sometimes we don't think that our story is particularly interesting, and I think we do ourselves a disservice when we think that. At its surface, Andrew's story probably wasn't very interesting. Looking at it from a bird's eye view, Andrew heard someone talk about Jesus. He went to check him out, followed him home, listened for a while. There were no miracles. At least none that were reported to us in John 1. If Andrew saw the Spirit descend on Jesus like a dove, John 1 doesn't let us in on that detail. His story is certainly different from the story of how someone like Moses saw God in the burning bush. And chances are Andrew never saw a disembodied hand writing on the wall like Daniel did in the Old Testament. On its surface, maybe Andrew himself didn't think his story was very interesting. But it was enough. It was enough. It was enough for him to run home and get his brother Simon. It was enough to tell Simon, come and see. And it was enough for Simon to go and see. We may not always think our story is interesting, but chances are it is enough. So what are you looking for? Maybe you know, and I'm glad that you're here. And maybe you don't know, and I'm glad that you're here. And maybe you used to know what you were looking for, and now you're not so sure, and I'm glad you're here too. You are in the right place to ask questions. Faith is not something that anyone can force upon you. Questions are good, and curiosity can be a blessing. Albert Einstein said once in an article called An Old Man's Advice to a Youth, curiosity has its own reasons for existence. One cannot help but be in awe when one contemplates the mysteries of eternity, of life, of the marvelous structure of reality. Curiosity can be good. Did you know, Mr. Rogers asks in his poem, Did you know that it's all right to wonder? Did you know it's all right to wonder? There are all kinds of wonderful things. Did you know when you wonder, you're learning? Did you know when you marvel, you're learning? All kinds of wonderful, all kinds of marvelous, marvelously wonderful things. God gave us minds and gave us hearts, and I am convinced that Jesus expects us to use what he gave us to learn and to grow, to come and to see and draw our own conclusions. But come and see. You don't have to take my word for it. Amen.